Good evening, grave robbers, and welcome back to the television graveyard. We are your TV necromancers, Laura Prince and Noah Houlihan. We have come here tonight to examine the spirits of past television shows, to find out which ones could be resurrected, should be resurrected, and which ones should just stay doomed. This is a podcast in which we will analyze the history, the hype, and the aftermath of shows that ran only one season, or some like this, being only one episode. With me, as always, is TV's Noah Houlihan cracking open a cold one.
I was on drugs, but not the kind that make you laugh.
Oh, I thought you were I thought you were about to open the seltzer and it was going
No, it was making like a bubbly noise. I was like, oh, I'll cover this with my hand. And then it jingled around. I know better than to open cans during a podcast.
I'm pretty sure we've both done it.
Anyway, hi, Laura.
Hi.
Welcome back to the television graveyard. It's missed you.
Oh, yeah. It's been a minute.
Yeah, you missed a whole thing about a ferret. I hope you don't mind.
So, interestingly, speaking of episodes I missed, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Yeah.
The sequel just came out?
Yes, yes. Blood, which is not called Blood and Honey 2 and Tigger 2, which is what it should be called.
They probably don't have the rights to do that. But you're not going to believe how... you're not going to believe the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Zero?
No. You're literally
not... Wait, is it a high number?
You're literally not going to believe it.
Like 100?
100.
There's no way! Then that has to 100% prove my theory that it is not a sequel, it is a reboot, and it has nothing to do with the first film.
The AV Club review says, this is cinema at its most punk rock, a raucous, unpolished, cheap, sacred crap, sacred cow-shredding middle finger to the mainstream with just enough raw talent inside to keep it from being dismissible. By the way, when you look at, I love Rotten Tomatoes scores, though.
Yeah.
Because some of them are damned with faint praise.
Yeah.
Like
low budget.
Flawed but enjoyable. Defies expectations, albeit low ones. They're all saying it's better than the original, though.
I mean, that is not a hard bar to clear.
But I saw that this morning and I thought it was very funny. So I wanted to jump in with that before we got moving.
Yes, and I believe Psycho Ferret might be one of the worst performing episodes of all time.
Oh, did you miss me?
Well, it's because my face is in the thumbnail.
Oh.
So I don't think anybody wanted to watch that one.
Oh.
In any case, we are finally getting to Blit Happens, or What the Blitz? It's something with blitz and shit being a pun.
Blit Happens.
Blit Happens.
This is from 2003.
2003, we open on our hero? Question mark.
Our main character.
Ricky Blitz.
Yeah, Ricky Blit.
Is it just Blit?
Yeah.
Okay. Ricky Blit and Cameron Diaz.
Yes.
Like, oh, Cameron Diaz is in this. This is going to be fun.
And she's talking to him about his screenplay.
And she thinks it's brilliant.
It's the funniest thing I've ever read.
I was laughing so hard, I think everybody around me must have thought I was on drugs.
And you weren't?
I was, but not the kind that make you laugh that hard.
First of all, thank you.
And then he talks about how they used to call him Virgin Airlines because he's a 33-year-old virgin.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, is it religion? Or are you, like, waiting for the right girl? And he's like, yeah, let's go with that. Implying that it's just because he can't.
Yeah, and Cameron Diaz is like, well, why don't I deflower you? And this is when I write a note as they begin to kiss that Ricky Blitz legitimately wrote this show.
Yes.
So I'm like, this is creepy. He wrote a show so he could kiss Cameron Diaz.
Yes.
And I say this because I used to be part of this like little film group. We would get together and make movies.
Yeah.
And none of them have ever seen the light of day.
All right.
Which, like, they were decent little films. We made one. It was about, like, it was like a post-apocalyptic end of the world. And
okay.
We all kind of get together. But the director would also star in them. And he always wrote it that the girl that we worked with liked his character.
What?
And we kind of had this moment of like, this isn't good, right? We shouldn't encourage this. And then we were sent a script with a hot tub scene, and we were all kind of like, maybe we should reevaluate how we make films.
Ooh.
So I had flashbacks to that, and basically, it's just a dream sequence, and we join reality Ricky at a call center.
Yeah, he's like working the cube farm.
This will be the first of many times that this happens. When he's with Cameron Diaz, it's shot kind of like a reality show. Like, you can tell that they're on a location.
Yeah, that, like, it, that kind of, like, more, like, not quite mockumentary style.
Yeah.
It's about to come into fashion.
But we're clearly, like, in an actual office.
Yes.
Then we cut to the call center, which is clearly a set.
Yes.
Like, it, all of a sudden, it looks like a sitcom. So that's a bit jarring.
I mean, it's clearly based on the fact that we really are never going to see this set again.
That is true. And as he wakes up from this daydream, his friend who sits behind him starts kind of like joshing with him. And it's David Koechner.
Yep. My note says Todd Packer is Todd Packering.
Yeah. Todd, you might know him as Todd Packer from The Office or as the sports guy from Anchorman. He's a great that guy actor.
And he is that guying his hardest.
Yes, he is. And it turns out Ricky works for a shampoo survey company.
Yeah.
His job is to cold call people to see if they will take a survey about shampoo.
Yes, like it's one of those very clear it's one of those very, very clear fake jobs.
Yes. So while he's doing this, he suddenly gets a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the pilot he wrote, oh, it got picked up by Fox. They're going to create the Cameron Diaz show. The show of his dreams.
Yeah.
And this causes him to quit his job. And Todd Packer also quits with him.
You hear that, suckers? We are out of this hellhole. Oh, you going weak?
Yeah, because he claims they made a pact that if one of them made it, they were going to take the other one with them.
Yes, whoever made it first will bring the other one along, despite the fact that Ricky applies himself and Todd Packer doesn't.
Yeah, like, we find out that Todd Packer, like, has done literally nothing.
Yeah, you might think that we're going to eventually learn this guy's name, but we're not.
I'm going
to tell you right now, we're not. So then, he has to go make copies.
Yes.
Making copies.
And so they go to a Kinko's-esque place.
Yes, and working behind the desk at Kinko's is Mike, who you may know as Jim Parsons of Big Bang Theory fame.
Yes, it is Jim Parsons, pre-Big Bang Theory. I looked it up. Big Bang Theory doesn't get picked up for another another 4 years.
Yeah.
So Jim Parsons is clearly just kind of still in the please, please, please let something get picked up.
Yeah,
part of his career.
It's very interesting to see him pre-Sheldon.
Yeah.
Like, he's not doing the Sheldon thing, which is interesting to view.
Yeah, he's just playing a guy.
And
this is one of his first roles.
He brags to Mike about getting this show.
Man, we gotta celebrate.
Yeah? How?
We'll get the gang together. We go cause some trouble.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah.
What gang?
The gang, man, the gang. This is me and you and Lester.
And then we cut to, like, an apartment. And it's Mike and Ricky and some other guy who's apparently Lester.
Well, he's important because he has a car.
Oh, Lester has a car. That's right. So that I thought was like a kind of a fun bit. And they're discussing the idea of Cameron Diaz being there. And Ricky says something along the lines of,
Mike, I'm not on drugs here. I'm not, okay? It's not like I expect Cameron Diaz to take one look at me and pop a boner.
Good. Good.
But on the other hand, you know, I did read an article where she said she's sick of going out with pretty boys. Okay, guys, look, I know that most relationships are based on stupid things like mutual two-party attraction, but, you know, every now and then a woman can look past all the...
So now we're in the situation where it is no longer just a daydream. It's a scheme.
Yeah. And Lester, who we don't get to see very much of, unfortunately, makes a joke after Blit says, well, maybe Cameron Diaz is tired, pretty boys. And Lester says, like, so you think she's going to go that hard in the other direction?
It's a good line.
We don't see enough of Lester because he's one of the only likable characters.
So we went from Ricky has a daydream and kind of like a small crush on Cameron Diaz to Ricky has now written this within the hopes of actually forming a relationship with Cameron Diaz.
Yes.
He, in my opinion now, is kind of crossing the line from like crush to kind of like stalker.
And that he's setting her up to be in a place where he... where she will be required to, for her job, interact with him in a romantic fashion, which is a lot.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, everything feels kind of
icky.
Gross. Yeah. Then real quick, I need to mention this, because I think this was done very much on purpose. Because this is a pilot, and they're trying to show the show's value. Since it's a quasi-reality show, did you catch what we see in the background when Ricky arrives at Fox?
Let me look at my notes.
Because it was jarring to me, and I want to see if like you picked it up as well.
No.
There's a huge poster for the film Runaway Jury.
Huh.
Which is a John Cusack's film. And this is absolutely product placement. And I think what the show's trying to do is say, like, if you pick up this pilot, we have a reason to include promotion for upcoming films and television shows because that's the setting of this show. I find this particularly jarring because there was a very strange marketing campaign for Runaway Jury.
Okay.
Where Runaway Jury was a prize on Big Brother.
Okay.
If you won a challenge on Big Brother, you got to watch Runaway Jury. The same way that on Survivor, they got to watch Jack and Jill. It's the same type of thing. So I think this like implanting of product placement was very much on purpose and meant to be a selling point for this pilot.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So he goes in to meet with the executives at Fox, and they explain that the show he wrote is a scripted reality spoof about the life of Cameron Diaz.
Which is fun.
I completely disagree.
It's not well executed. But it's a fun idea.
I think it's too meta at this point.
Okay.
Because this show is a scripted reality spoof, in a way, of Ricky's life. So the idea that if we watch this show, they would be out filming things that look like this show doesn't interest me as much.
I mean, I am willing to give it a little bit more grace on that front because of where it is in time. This is being filmed in 2003.
Right.
This is new and exciting. Like, doing this, like, double meta. This is before every stone had been turned with reality TV.
I agree.
So I'm going to give that a little bit more grace than you. I thought the idea of, quote, quote, following a famous actor around and doing this, like, scripted version of them. I mean, there's a lot of... I'm trying to figure out how to put this. To me, it's not substantially different than Seinfeld. Of, it's about a comedian, it's a scripted show about a comedian named Jerry Seinfeld. Written right. And starring a comedian named Jerry Seinfeld, but it's a scripted version of that.
I think the difference here is, it made me think about 30 Rock. Because 30 Rock is a TV show about making a TV show called The Girly Show, or TGS.
Yeah.
What if 30 Rock was a TV show about making a TV show at 30 Rock? Like, I think it's one layer too deep, like, that it lacks now a substance.
I mean, 30 Rock is about making a show at 30 Rock.
Right, but instead of, what if the show that they were making wasn't TGS? They were making a show about making a show at 30 Rock. Like, I feel like it's like, wait, we're looking into a mirror of a mirror, and, like, it's going to lack the legs of having, like...
It does not bother me the way it bothers
the hell out of me.
Yeah, that's it. You can make this argument. It doesn't trouble me at all.
I just wanted you to understand where I was coming from. I don't want to change your mind. I was just saying, like, I think that it lacks legs for this reason. Anyway.
I think it gets... I think what happens next salvages the premise for me of they can't get Cameron Diaz.
Yes. So they ask Ricky, well, who do you want to work with? It's not like we can get Cameron Diaz. And he throws a, like, little boy fit.
But it's called The Cameron Diaz Show.
We kind of assumed that was a joke.
Nuh-uh. Come on, you're a major network. No, look, she'll do it. Trust me.
No, Ricky, you've got to trust us. It's a waste of time.
You don't know that!
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Which, again, makes me feel like he's gross.
Yes.
And the name that they throw out is Shannon Elizabeth.
Yes.
Who you probably know as the exchange student from American Pie.
Yes.
I really like Shannon Elizabeth. I think she's very funny. I don't know where she went. Because I feel like I haven't seen much from her recently.
She's been working consistently. Like, when I just very quickly pulled up Wikipedia, there are not many years where she has nothing happening.
Okay.
She's done a little bit of everything. She's done some voice acting. She's done some TV. She's done some films. She hasn't had anything truly huge in a while.
Okay.
Her last big role would have been Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. She comes back as Justice.
Oh, right. She's Justice in Jay and Silent Bob. Oh.
And she's in one of my, like, all-time favorite films in a fairly small role, but it makes me happy.
Which is?
Love Actually.
She's in Love Actually?
She plays Harriet. Oh, you're gonna like Harriet. Everyone says she's the sexy one.
Did not realize that was her.
So, before we get more into this, something very, very important happens that we kind of jumped over.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Complaining about the premise and then jumping into why it's not. Because I think the thing that salvages the premise for me is that he can't get the original woman. And right. How funny that is to me. Todd Packer and Ricky Blitt get into an argument. Because Ricky Blitt refuses to hire David Koechner.
While he's at that meeting, Todd Packer, whose name is Don, it turns out he did take a note. His name is Don, calls and, like, pretends to be someone else so he can get in because he wants to be a co-producer on this, despite having no experience at all. They have this argument in, like, this apartment scene, which again looks like a set.
Yes.
Like, once again, it's like we're transported from reality to a set.
We are clearly not planning to see this place much, therefore...
Yeah. They have this argument, and I have a note here during the argument. I just want to bring this up really quickly. They always put Ricky in a suit that's too big for him.
Yeah.
So they're trying to create this feeling of like...
He's schlubby.
He's slubby. He's out of place. He doesn't fit this role that he's trying to be as an executive producer of a major television show, which is a nice touch. But Don and Ricky have this argument. And Ricky finally kind of like stands up for himself and says like, no, at best, I will try to get you something after the first season.
Right.
So he doesn't even truly say no. He simply says, I can't right now. I don't have the power yet.
I don't have clout.
Like, it's still in the pilots. Like, we know a thing or two about how pilots don't always go somewhere.
Right.
So, as Ricky then leaves, Don jumps out the window.
To his death.
To his death. And they don't show it. They just kind of show him, like, climbing out the window. And then they show Ricky's eyes as he's like, no. And he's looking at the ground.
Yeah. So we go back to Blit hearing a bunch of people sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow.
Yes.
And he freaks out that he killed a man. And everybody laughs it off.
So, because I have an interest, this is an interesting bit to me. That's a solid joke. Ricky Blitz walks outside and his friend jumps out of a window to his death, which crushes his spirit. And then we hard cut to For He's a Jolly Good Fellow.
Yeah.
Which is a great joke. Except... this is where the ad break would have been.
Yeah.
So that joke doesn't work after I saw a Pine Sol commercial in between these two.
And totally forgot. I mean, there's a reason a big sitcom-y trope is that you see a little bit of what you had just seen before the commercial break.
Yeah.
He says, I'm a monster. I'm no better than the Dixie Chicks.
What is that? This is after the Dixie Chicks made fun of the president?
Yes.
Yeah. So there was a brief time, because this is 2003. So this is 2 years after 9/11. And right after 9/11, it was really uncouth to make fun of the president.
Yeah.
And, like, the real reason I remember that is there is a Chris Jericho promo where he says, I know it's not cool to make fun of the president, but he's not my leader because he's Canadian.
Yeah.
And it jogged my memory of, like, hey, people haven't been making fun of the president for a while. So just, like, dear younger listener, there was a time where it was not cool to make fun of George W. Bush.
I will say, that time didn't last.
The Dixie Chicks kicked that door down.
Well, and that time was over by the time this was coming out in late 2003.
Yeah.
Like, that was really only 4 or 5 months.
Because there was a time, like, you could tell it's a pilot because we go on these fun tangents. There was a time after 9/11 where a bunch of songs got blacklisted.
Yes.
That because they would invoke bad feelings. Anything by the B-52s, because the B-52 bomber existed.
To the point where it's almost funny.
Yes. But one of those songs was Jump by Van Halen. Because people were falling out of a building. Which is a thing that happens in this show.
Yes.
By the way. But the Dixie Chicks said something about the president. And then there was a time where whenever it was scheduled to play the Dixie Chicks on the radio, they would play the national anthem as kind of like a protest to the Dixie Chicks, because that's who the enemy was then. So that's what this joke is referring to.
It was a suggested list. A lot of those songs weren't technically banned.
Yes.
There were some things that were changed as far as music. I always think of the Jimmy Eat World album. The Jimmy Eat World, the album like The Middle is on, the one you know, was called Bleed American when it was originally released in July 2001, or maybe August, summer. But yeah, it had to change. It was changed for years to a self-titled album. Mm. Also, the music video for Stay Together for the Kids.
Oh, yeah, because the building's falling apart.
Yes. Yeah. They had to, like, kind of reshoot it.
Interesting. So now I have two quotes here.
Okay.
That I don't remember why I wrote these down. One is,
Ricky, dude, don't be a banana head.
Okay.
Why would anyone ever say that those words in that order? I don't know. And then there's this whole, like, bit about charisma, but they keep saying kojisma.
She's got personality. Every guy in this country wants to do her. She's got
kojisma. Huh? You know, when they're personable and you want to copulate them too, and call that kojisma.
And it took me a while to just, like, understand what was happening here. Because I wrote it, like, a few times until I finally landed on, oh, they're saying kojisma.
Oh.
Did you even catch that? It was so weird.
No. I have a quote here. He dove off a building. That's pretty quirky.
That's a good line.
Which is Jim Parsons' character talking about Don. When people were like, oh, were there any signs? Because this is also mid-2000s handling of suicide. And suicide is still very much, very lightly treated in network TV in the 2000s.
Yeah.
In a way that I don't think it is now in network TV.
No.
But I loved the line. That's pretty quirky.
Oh, I just remembered something else that's coming up later, but I'll get to it. Because we have to talk about the Shannon Elizabeth scene. So,
do you like cringe humor?
You thought this was humorous?
It was trying to be.
This is fascinating to me. He sits down to talk to Shannon Elizabeth. And when he sits down to talk to her, they kind of hit it off.
Yeah.
Like, they're it's kind of fun and happy and stuff like that. And then Ricky says, why don't you deflower me?
What?
And she's like, what? And he's like, it was a joke. And she says, I thought jokes were supposed to be funny. We're in a situation where we're supposed to think this is a misunderstanding because he was thinking about his daydream. Where he manipulated Cameron Diaz into deflowering him and got it confused with reality with Shannon.
Where he's trying to manipulate Sharon Elizabeth into deflowering him.
Yeah, like he forgot it was inappropriate, so we're supposed to take his side because it was a goof. Shannon Elizabeth storms out and then storms back and like quits. And then storms back in and says, you know what? I'm not going to quit because I'm going to make it right for women everywhere that suffer because of people like you. I think we're supposed to think this is, one, ridiculous and Shannon Elizabeth is overreacting, and two, siding with Blit because he made an honest mistake.
Ugh.
This scene makes Shannon Elizabeth look awesome.
Yeah. I mean, she looks like she is going to, like, beat the living poop out of him.
Mm-hmm. Deservingly.
And I'm going to hold her jacket.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I would just be like, I will hold your jacket for you if you like. I mean, she's great in this. I will say she's great in this.
Yeah, she is wonderful. There's not enough of her in this.
Yeah, but then the rest of that show happens.
So then we get to the funeral. Now, Turns out Don has a twin brother.
Yep, also played by David Koechner, also, obviously.
So David Koechner is going to be sticking around for this show. He mentions that how much he loved his brother. And even though they were not, like, close, he recently sent him an email that really touched him.
Yes.
Now, Don had mentioned to Ricky earlier, in an earlier scene, in something that I've meant to block out, but it's going to be a plot point, that he sent his brother a video of, like, a donkey having sex with a duck.
Yeah, like something filthy.
Yeah, something along those lines. And he mentions this email in the eulogy to his brother.
But I love my brother a lot. In fact, the day before he died, I'd sent him an email as a kind of a peace offering. I never did talk to him again.
So Ricky's like, oh, that's odd.
Yeah, I guess it's open season to talk about that email.
There's this, like, weird moment where the entire family is, like, kind of pushing Ricky, like, is there anything you can tell us so that we can get closure?
Yeah, like, do you know why he did this? Is there anything?
And, like, he, of course, doesn't want to say, I couldn't make him executive producer of my show, so he jumped out of a window.
Yeah.
So he says, he mentioned the email you sent him.
By the way, if it helps any, your little cow and donkey gesture, boy, it sure did brighten his day.
Huh?
I saw the email you were referring to in there.
I also sent him a poem.
Oh?
What, you thought I'd talk about a cow servicing a donkey in church?
Like, it's such a... This is when I write, this is Curb Your Enthusiasm without the soundtrack. Because I just start making the trumpet noise.
It's also with, like, someone who wants to be likable more than Larry David does. Like, Larry David does Curb Your Enthusiasm knowing that he's always going to be the one who sucks.
Yes, this is my main problem with this. Because it also turns out Don had AIDS. That's just a joke that comes out of nowhere.
That's what Blit tells the family.
Oh, yes. That's right.
I'm begging you, sir. We need to know the truth or we'll never be able to start the healing. Please.
Don had AIDS.
Are you telling me my brother was gay?
Oh, no. He had the good kind. You know, from a hooker.
That's his excuse, is Don had AIDS, but he got it from the good type of hooker.
Well, his family says, like, he was gay. And Blit comforts the family by going, no, the good kind from a hooker. Which is, like, a gross comment.
All of this is so gross. And this is kind of like, okay, he did the wrong thing to, like, he did an even worse thing to hide the bad thing he did.
Yes.
I can kind of understand that. Don corners him before he leaves and says, hey, by the way, you got a new show coming up, right? Can you get me in there with a job? And Ricky leaves, tells the driver to come back, and then waves the brother over and says, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
And his response is, you got Shannon and Elizabeth on this show, right? I'm going to get in there in a week. Like, as in having sex with Shannon and Elizabeth.
Yeah, like, so everything comes back to manipulating an actor.
Yeah. So in the last moments, we turn Shannon Elizabeth back into an object. Like, we erase her scene where she's taking charge and turn her back into an object. And two, we uncurb your enthusiasm this.
Yeah.
Because what happens at the end of this is Ricky tries to do the right thing. So he comes back and tries to make things right and tries to do something good, and it bites him in the ass.
Yeah.
In Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David never tries to do the right thing.
He's either trying to do the selfish thing or trying to not be called out for doing the selfish thing.
Yes.
Like, he's trying to hide that he did the selfish thing, but he's not trying to do the nice thing.
Which means when something bad happens to him, we agree with it.
Yeah, we're like, ha-ha.
It's just desserts. Ricky only gets punished when he tries to do good.
Yeah.
And is never punished for all of his scumbag things.
Ugh.
It's the opposite of Curb.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the show is. It's Increase Your Enthusiasm. This show is infuriating.
Yeah.
Because it's just done wrong. You took a show and you did it incorrectly.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add to this?
No, we hit on everything that, this came out, this was, November 3rd, 2003.
Okay.
Which I always like to kind of say when these things happen, because I think that gives a lot of information.
Yeah.
So it, 2003, so we're in like that early reality boom still.
Yeah.
So like, unlike you, I don't hate the idea of the show. I don't see where it can go on network.
Yeah, I just, like, my thought is...
Curb Your Enthusiasm was first, which I
think
is...
Oh, of course it was. Curb Your Enthusiasm, I feel like, has been on forever.
It has 12 seasons and has been running for 24 years.
Yeah, exactly. And I know you're not a big Curb fan. There is exactly one season of Curb you need to watch.
I need to watch the Lin-Manuel Miranda season, right?
No, that's not what I was going to say.
Isn't that the season where he's doing the producers?
Is Lin-Manuel Miranda in that?
I think Lin-Manuel Miranda...
It would have been before I knew who he was. But yeah, Larry David gets to do the producers. And it's a phenomenal season of television. But... I like Curb. It's not, to me, a show you can binge because it just kind of feels gross. But it's not a everybody sucks show. It's this guy sucks
yeah.
show.
This is just, it's not as good in really any way.
Yeah, and like, also Curb's a lot of improv. This felt very scripted and stiff, mostly because of Ricky.
Yeah, it's that mid-2000s schlubby Judd Apatow slacker humor.
Yeah.
But Judd Apatow always realized you need to like the Seth Rogen character, the Steve Carell character. You need to like that main guy, even when he's a little crappy.
Yeah.
He needs to be redeemable, and he needs to be a good-hearted guy who messes up.
Yeah.
Not just a real piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this show falls apart.
Yeah.
Would you believe this, that Blit wrote for Movie 43?
Really?
Yes.
That's incredible. Well, I'll reach out to him on Twitter and see if he wants to get interviewed. I'll tell him that we covered his show and that he shouldn't listen to the episode, and we'd love to talk to him.
Oof.
We'll see what happens. You never know. You never know unless you ask. In any case, it's a Stay Doomed.
Yeah, hard Stay Doomed.
We forgot to say that part. It's a Stay Doomed. Where can people find us?
You can email us at TheStayDoomedShow@gmail.com or on Facebook and Twitter at Stay Doomed.
And you can check out the +2Comedy Patreon. That's patreon.com/+2Comedy if you want to be a super cool patron. And if you want to talk to me about, I don't know, if you're getting interviews for Stay Doomed. I'm at plus two comedy on Twitter.
If you want to talk to me about how much you also don't like cringe humor, I'm at Priorities. Until next time, stay doomed.
Let's watch Scott's Tots.
No!